Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good morning. As if the Eagles already didn't have enough problems.
You got to feel that, Zubin.
Zubin, we have you in the middle of the club in the mosh pit getting hyped up. I would mess up that hair in the tea tree.
We get him in that.
We get the hair in the tea tree, just swaying it all the way around.
Pour champagne on himself.
It's too early. Or are you guys just getting it? Is it too late? We just have to figure out which one it is.
We're not in yet.
Yeah, this is still yesterday, man.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive. Not yesterday, but the day before yesterday was Tuesday when Brett Favre showed up on First Take, the NFL legend. And he essentially went on First Take, and, you know, that show was full of great opinions. And Brett, I would say, gave an opinion that even knocked Stephen A. and Max out of their seat. He had the best opinion of the show when he essentially said, when it came right down to it, Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, of course we know Wentz led them all the way to a brink of a Super Bowl, and Foles finished the job, and then the Eagles eventually chose Wentz, let Foles go. He ended up in Jacksonville and now in Chicago. Favre essentially said, you chose the wrong guy from the jump. After the Philly special happened, you should have just kept Nick Foles. So Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach, and I should mention this, he was a longtime backup for Brett Favre in Green Bay. So he knows both sides of the equation here. He was a backup on two different stints in Green Bay, late 90s, and then the early aughts as well, all backing up Brett Favre. Close personal relationship with Brett. Obviously, got to protect my guy, Carson Wentz, because we made that call. So he's got to straddle both sides of the fence. And the Philly media just went in on him, not once, not twice, but three different times on this very question. Did you pick the right guy? Let's listen to the first time Doug Peterson was asked about if they picked the right guy when compared to Favre's comments.
Doug, Brett Favre offered the opinion yesterday that you guys should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. And, you know, his comments arguably offer, you know, have a little bit more weight since you guys are tight. Just curious what your reaction to his comments are.
I respect Brett's opinion. You know, I mean, yeah, we are friends, but I haven't talked to him, and he's entitled to that. And that's about it.
Okay. Then he got a little testy. Then there was a second question. And then he was asked for the third time, and he finally said what the Eagles eventually did.
Carson's our guy. Carson's our draft pick. Carson's the guy that is going to carry us and lead this football team. And listen, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Those aren't my words. Those aren't Howie's words, Jeffrey's words. Those are his words. I mean, that I respect that opinion. But whatever he wants to say, that's fine. And we're going to remain friends. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. All I know is that Carson Wentz is our guy. Again, I respect his opinion and his words. Those aren't mine. Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. And Carson's our guy. End of story.
Howie is Howie Roseman, executive vice president of the Eagles. Jeffrey is Jeffrey Lurie, who is the owner of the Eagles. Just wanted to set that up. All right, fellas, it took three questions, but they got him going.
Well, don't get contentious with the media. Yeah. Answer the question the same way every single time. Wentz is our guy. Second time, Wentz is our guy. Third time, Wentz is our guy. I don't know what else you guys need from me. There's no need to become emotional. I mean, Nick Foles is like a watered-down version of Robert Ori. Okay? You bring him in to win a game, but that doesn't mean that you give him a major contract and you make him your star player the next year. Like, I actually agree with them doubling down on Carson Wentz. Now, has it panned out? No. But it was the right move. Yeah. I just sometimes it gets me so frustrated with the way Doug Peterson handles situations. Yeah. Philadelphia media, do your thing. Ask the question over and over and over again. Bart, we're part of the media. We get that we have to do our jobs.
Poke the bear.
But we're also been on the other side of the media where I'm going to answer the question the same way every time. You're not going to get emotion out of me.
See, what I want, see I'm a little different because I want some emotion because this was an opportunity for him to back his guy. Mm. Like, just think, Wentz is listening. Right, this is a way to galvanize the troops. I'm going to say, listen, Brett Favre, I would have came at Favre. Like, listen, he kept saying, oh, I respect the guy. He has been. No, you don't have the right to come and talk about what's in my locker room. Don't talk about my organization. It ain't your place. You know what I'm saying? I would have went at him. Like, you know what, Brett Favre? What we need you to do is two things. We don't need you in front of mics, and we don't need you around cameras. How about that?
Uh-oh, you went to the camera.
I'm going to go to the camera, man. Let's send a pick.
And so we don't need 1,000
tweets
right now?
Or don't send
right
a pick is more like
don't
it.
Don't send.
Don't send.
Who's that? Don't press send.
Don't press send. Send. Yes.
Brett, don't press send. How about that?
and don't press send on your Twitter account to send this. This is a public service announcement. For those of you too young to remember this, when Brett Favre was drafted, the NFL commissioner, Paul Tagliabue, went up to the podium and announced his name as Brett Favre. Yes, Bart obviously knows who Brett Favre is. In the interest of equal time, I do want to mention Carson Wentz did respond with the obvious pretty blah statement. But as Jay said, you got to be the CEO, or I think, Bart, you said that this morning.
Yep.
You got to just say the right things. This is Wentz himself on all of the controversy, essentially addressing the fact that Favre thinks that he shouldn't be on the Eagles. He should be playing quarterback somewhere else. Quote, at the end of the day, it's really whatever. Everyone has their opinion, so I don't know. Thanks for the clarity.
Yeah. I'm like, Elway's better. You know what I mean? I'm tip
attack.
Easy. I'm a tip attack guy. I'm Elway's better. You know what I'm saying? You got to poke the bear, man. You want to come at me, I'm coming at you, man. I'm an equal opportunity a-hole.
No, it is. He came in hot. It is interesting, though, when you think about friendships within the media, right? So if Doug and Brett are friends, do you think Doug got a call that Brett said this? Hey, by the way, I said this, it may have put you in an interesting predicament. I know you'll probably have to answer questions about this. I actually want to provide some context to you. I only say that because I got caught. Look, one thing I love about this show, we're always real, right? So I ran with some information that I thought was factual. I sent out a text to Kevin Durant about this. Didn't get a response to him later. I had to retract that statement. But I had a relationship to go back and talk that stuff through. Yeah. So I wonder if you're really friends with somebody, do you think Doug really had context, or do you think we're just labeling that as friends? Because that felt more like a shot from Brett Favre at the Eagles organization and Doug Peterson, more so than a friendly comment made about a team.
They're teammates. I don't know. I mean, see, we use friends so loosely around. You understand that. The people that you really – how many people you really keep stay in contact with from your playing days? And you realize we were just associates and our life was on the same schedule, so we did
still
a lot
that
of things
there's still that respect there, right, though. There's that, if you hold yourself to a moral standard, yeah, you have that respect with your teammates, especially if you guys have won games together.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, let's go right to Bristol, Connecticut. Our resident Eagles fan, Pat Costello, who works as hard as anybody behind the scenes on the show, is a hardcore Eagles fan. I don't think I've actually met anybody but a hardcore. There's no casual Eagle fans. They're all hardcore, ready to go. All right, Pat, we're going to wind you up. 3, 2, silent one, go.
Zubin, this made me so angry when I heard this statement from Doug Peterson, because it was so, like Jay said, it was so easy. All he had to do was laugh it off and say, Carson's our guy. I'm not even going to answer that question. Jerry Jones got this right the other day. Jerry Jones, who was fully incompetent as a general manager of the Cowboys half the time, got this right with Dak Prescott saying, I'm not even going to answer questions about drafting a quarterback because he's our guy. It took you 3 times. What you guys didn't hear is the question on the 3rd time started with, I'm going to ask you this for a 3rd time because I don't want anyone to get misconstrued about this. And that's what it took for you to answer that Carson is our guy. It's completely ridiculous. And Doug Peterson is the most infuriating coach in the NFL. End of rant.
Indeed. Okay, so now you're going to hang up and listen. First time, long time. Thanks for doing it. Pat from Manayunk or South Philly or whatever the case would be. He's going to take our thoughts off the air, okay? He's going to take our thoughts off the air.
Nick Foles didn't beat out Mitchell Trubisky.
Or Minshew.
He didn't beat out either one of these guys. He had ample opportunity to beat them both out, did not succeed. But now Brett Favre is going to say that Nick Foles should have stayed.
And he was on $88 million contract. He was on $88 million contract.
Oh, my goodness.
And lost his job to a dude and cut off Lee Dunkaroo shorts.
That would be Gardner Minshew. You remember that era with Jacksonville. As charmed of a life as he had in Philly at the end, the first game he had with Jacksonville, he had the collarbone injury. It was never the same. And obviously now he's in Chicago, and the man wearing jorts for the moment is starting for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jorts.
Still to come. Should the college football playoff be A, pushed back, B, expanded, C, put in a bubble, or D, all of the above? Paul Finebaum answers all of that after this.
Answer so many questions in my SAT with D, all of the above.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Already this week, we have seen countless games postponed, and now we have this. Maryland will pause activities, thus canceling the Ohio State game for this weekend. That's the number three team in the country, the number one team out, the number three team out, the number five team out, and then you have two more in the top 25. This has been a bad week.
It's been a really bad week. Those are the words of Paul Feinbaum, who will join us here in 1 second on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Paul and everybody else on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line this morning. Bart Scott, the 11-year NFL vet, is in for Key. Real quick.
Praying for you, Key.
What's that?
Praying for you, Key.
Turf toe.
Hopefully, Key back tomorrow. He's on the Key Jay-Z injured list, retroactive to a couple of days ago with a foot injury. So the top six teams in the country have all been affected. Alabama had the Saban thing. Notre Dame had the super spreader event possibly after Saturday night. They had an outbreak. Ohio State's game with Maryland has been canceled because Maryland has an outbreak. Clemson had Trevor Lawrence. Texas A&M's game is off this week. And Florida had to pause the program and Dan Mullen got coronavirus. That's teams 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Bama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, Texas A&M, Florida, all affected. Let's go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to welcome in Paul Feinbaum. He said it was a bad week, and that obviously proves it. Paul, right before the break, we were speculating on the possibility of a playoff bubble, playoff expansion. In your opinion, having covered this sport for 40 years, what does this sport need to do moving forward here in the next few weeks to make sure a champion can get crowned?
They need to pray, Zubin, because right now the college football season, like a lot of things in our lives, are in peril. And the problem for college football is they can't change the future. They're not prepared to do a bubble. They will not change the calendar. And they are not going to budge from anything and everything that they have scheduled. And you know that. You've covered this sport as well. Nobody's covered it as long as I have. But these are not people that really care about anything other than what they have already decided to do. That's why they took forever to go to a playoff. And that's why they'll take even longer to expand the playoff. So when you talk to them about moving things back, they will not listen. And there are a lot of reasons, but it starts with January 1st being the Rose Bowl at 4 o'clock on ESPN. That's immovable. It's just not something that will ever change because that's the way it's always been. And that's part of the problem with college football, as you well know.
Paul, why did the Big Ten not move away from divisions? We saw the ACC do that. I mean, you could have a situation right now where if Ohio State misses another game or two, Indiana will come out and play in a Big Ten championship game.
Jay, why does the Big Ten do anything? Right. I mean, because they don't. I'm sure it's a good question, and they're going to have to adjust. This is contrary to what I just got through saying. The Big Ten may be faced in a situation where they're stuck without getting Ohio State in the championship game. And it's worth remembering, the whole reason they came back wasn't to satisfy Maryland or Rutgers or Indiana or Penn State. It was all about Ohio State. Ohio State had a legitimate shot at winning the national championship, so they had to figure out a way to give the Buckeyes that opportunity. So that's where they are. I'm guessing, always difficult to do, but they'll figure out a way to move the goalposts a little bit to help them out because the Big Ten does not want Indiana as representing that side in the Big Ten championship game while Ohio State sitting at home doing nothing. That will not happen.
Well, you talk about moving the goalposts, and you also said that the college football is always slow to adjust. But when you talk about one thing that college football always moves the needle is money. So I don't understand why they won't expand the pool and use the draft You use all the bowl games as a qualifier to be in the Final Four, because how can you really explain not letting BYU in if they go undefeated? And you look at, you know, a team like Ohio State that may only have 7 wins. BYU is already there, so, you know, be able to let them, you know, answer the question who's the best team on the field, but use the bowl games as qualifiers for the Final Four playoffs.
Bart, you raise a great point, and I will not answer the same. I will not answer your question the same way I already have, because it would be repetitive. But college football takes care of its own, and you can compare it to anything in society that this explanation fits. But it's very antediluvian in their approach. They do not have much bend. I mean, this was the one year. Where they should have said, you know what, everything's different. Let's do a one-off. They've done that with scholarships. They've done that with eligibility, and this was the one time where they should have opened the door and let everyone else in the house. But they didn't, because I interviewed the head of the College Football Playoff Committee from March until recently, and even as the world was coming apart in March and April. This man was saying, well, we're still scheduled to go off on January 9th in Miami. I mean, there's no budge with these people. And I wish I could give you a better explanation, but I can't, other than the fact that they're very stubborn people.
Paul, do teams like Cincinnati or BYU even have a shot?
Truthfully, no.
Why play them, Paul?
As good as Cincinnati is and as...
Why play?
Well, because you're right, Jay. With only four teams in, I mean, we're talking primarily about will there be two from the ACC, Notre Dame or Clemson? Will there be two from the SEC? If Alabama loses, is it Alabama and Florida? And we'll leave out good schools like BYU. You're right. Luke Fickell's done a phenomenal job at Cincinnati, but there's simply no room, and that's why expanding this. 1 year only would have at least answered that question. But the argument is going to be that their schedule does not suffice. I haven't measured it, because we don't even know what it's going to look like at the end of the year right now with all these games being scrapped. But it's a really good point, and that's the best I can do. I know I'm sounding like I'm a spokesman for the CFP, which I'm not, nor will I ever be.
No, but. You and Bill Hancock are both follically challenged. Can I say that, Paul? Can I say
that? That's cold. Don't take a shot at Paul. Come on, leave Paulie alone.
Boy, pot calling kettle black.
Zubin, I just got through watching you a minute ago. I mean, you're coming after me with my hair?
Fair enough. I'll be there soon enough. One thing I should quickly mention on the BYU note, that was a really good zinger, by the way. That should be a walk-off moment. But I should mention here, real quick, you're mentioning BYU and the SEC and all these other leagues. They're thinking about how can we crash course so many games in. We don't have enough weeks. We have too many games. BYU is just the opposite. They played against Boise State last week. They're not going to play again until the 21st. So that's 15 days off between the Boise State game and their next game. And believe it or not, they have 22 days off between their penultimate game and their last game. So while certain teams are just dying to play and figure out how to do it, BYU is just sitting there and waiting. It's the other side of the schedule equation. Paul, we'll see you at 3 p.m. Eastern, as always, on the SEC Network. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Enjoyed it, guys. Thank you.
He's the best. And he got me. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Okay, so Paul said the expansion of the playoff is not going to happen. Every piece of evidence says that they're not going to budge. Paul essentially said they're not going to budge. New Year's Day is a day for college football. The ratings have always shown, fellas, that even if you play it just 24 hours before, what's the big deal? It's just 24 hours. If you play it on New Year's Eve, most of America is going to choose, not that people are going out this year. I don't think Times Square is going to be packed. Most people will choose getting together with a small group of people on New Year's Eve and saying, you know what? I'll just watch the championship game on the 11th. I don't need to watch the playoff. New Year's Eve is once a year. I'm going to celebrate, especially this year with everything that's going on. So holding it on January 1 is absolutely positively firm. Should it be that way? And why not expand the playoff?
I feel like I'm like this Groundhog Day, and I'm repeating myself you know, every time we talk about this. This was the year to do it. Because this is the year you can say, listen, we're going to fly the weather kite. We're going to see how this works. And we're going to get all the markets. Just imagine how many markets you can have still involved and still interested and invested in what their teams are doing. We had an opportunity to maybe have a Cinderella team. Could BYU be a Cinderella team? Could Cincinnati be a Cinderella team? You know, you finally get the answer, get it on the court. And then this is something that you can start to worry about or think about going forward. Like, man, it worked out. Look at the ratings. And now you have the weather kite up there. And now you've done this experiment. And it's saying going forward, this is something that we may want to implement because look at the revenue that we're able to generate because we have multiple, you know, media, you know, outlets and markets still involved and still engaged in football late in the season. So I don't understand it.
Zuby, you know why I love my iPhone?
Tell me.
Because the iOS gets updated all the time. There's always a new system. I'm like, oh, wow, that looks smoother. Oh, that seems like an easy transition. Yeah. I do not understand why the best time to update the iOS for the NCAA or for CFB, college football, CFP, excuse me, the playoffs, why wouldn't you do that? I had the same qualm with the NBA, with the playoffs. Like, just seed the best teams 1 through 16.
Yeah.
If there's a year to do it, you have an asterisk next to this year. Well, the caveat is we were going through a pandemic. We had to make the best possible scenario work out. We want to do it for television ratings. Why not the same for college football playoffs? Why not the same for the bowl games? And yes, you should move it back. I know you want to hold firm on that date, but I don't think people are going out like that a lot now anyway. Anyway, so if you move it down a little bit or move it back even if a week or two, you know what you do, Zubin? You give yourself wiggle room.
Yes.
In case something happens in a year where we've learned to expect the unexpected. Right? Through week 11 of CFB season, 48 of 406 games involving FBS teams on the schedule, that's 12%, have been either postponed or canceled. It's a pretty big sample size. You should probably prepare for something like that to happen, knowing that you knew it was going to happen because you have built-in bye weeks.
Yeah.
Right? That's what certain leagues did, unless you're the Big Ten or the Pac-12 that got started late. Why not do the same with the college football playoffs? It just makes sense. But you know what? I've learned not to expect these conferences or the NCAA to make sense anymore. I think that's the new norm for me, from somebody who's been in this industry for 13 years now.
But the thing we know that they respond to is the money. This is an opportunity to generate more money because now these games mean something more and people love championships. I mean, I'm watching Mac football yesterday. People love football. And the most passionate fan base is usually the college fans. You know, they'll watch anything with their team on, especially if it means something. So I don't understand why they can't just pivot, why they can't be flexible, why can't they be fluid with this thing and figure it out on the run. I mean, they're supposed to be smart people, right? Why can't you just say, let's utilize these bowl games, let's make those qualifiers. We don't have to change our system for the Final Four, but the way we get to the Final Four is the way we can make up some of these games in which we miss because Ohio State's going to miss games. Wisconsin hasn't, you know, won any games. This is a way to get the representation, get the best players and the best teams out there. How are you going to evaluate Ohio State with three games played, right? The eye test? Is it the eye test or is it the fan base and the media and the TV market that comes with them? So now you're saying fans, you know, it's supposed to be fair and BYU may have a legitimate gripe. Cincinnati may have a legitimate gripe. But then you're telling them that they did everything right, but they still don't qualify when Ohio State hasn't proven it, but you're going off of what they used to be or what they represent, not what they are and what they are this year.
So speaking of Ohio State, and I think one of Paul's best comments is he said, I would be shocked if the Big Ten didn't find a way to have Ohio State in the championship game.
Right.
In the Big Ten championship. So deserving hypothetically, Ohio State misses this week's game against Maryland. Indiana plays. Indiana goes to 4-0. Let's say something happens with Indiana next week. Ohio State then misses two games. Indiana's still up 4-0, and Indiana could end up winning that division. That's why I would also say with the pandemic should have just told all these conferences, this is the year we're not doing divisions. Like the ACC did, there's no division in ACC. We want the best two teams to represent our conference in the conference championship. Right. I feel like the Big Ten missed the ball drastically on this one as well.
Last note on the Big Ten with Wisconsin. Think about this. They opened
dropped
the
ball,
season.
Not missed the ball. Excuse me. You know what I mean.
I got you. Wisconsin opened the season October 23rd, the first Friday night, the very first day of the Big Ten season. They have not played since. Wow. They played October 23rd. They played week one.
Hey, man, they undefeated. They deserve being in a championship game.
They have not. They're 1-0.
Meanwhile, Northwestern's at 3-0, and they're at the top of that division.
And so is Purdue at 3-0. And Nebraska and Penn State are 0-3. What kind of world are we living in? Still to come. Yesterday, Bart proclaimed, this might be it for Bill Belichick in New England. What does a former Patriot that played for Bill think of that? The answer on the way after SportsCenter.
Oh, really?
Good morning. I'm Zubin Mehta here with your SportsCenter update. The Masters is underway. Bryson DeChambeau, the betting favorite, is about to tee off in 2 minutes. You can watch all the early action on ESPN+. Plus, Tiger tees off at 7:55 a.m. Eastern with the 2019 U.S. Amateur Champion Andy Ogletree and the great Irishman Shane Lowry, a major winner himself. The coverage will shift to ESPN television at 1 Eastern. We'll have an encore presentation tonight if you're at work and can't catch the golf. No, I don't think.
Never mind.
That's just a guess. I can't confirm that, though. I can confirm this. We have our Cy Young Award winners, Trevor Bauer and Shane Bieber. Shane Bieber, the Indians ace, became the first pitcher to win a Cy Young unanimously since Clayton Kershaw back in 2014 and the first in the AL to turn the trick unanimously since Justin Verlander in 2011. Trevor Bauer became the first pitcher in Reds history to win a Cy Young Award. Of course, Bauer, a former Indians pitcher himself, and as Paul mentioned and as Jay just reiterated, Ohio State's game with Maryland this weekend has been canceled. They're calling it a quote no contest, but there's absolutely no makeup date here. They can't. There's no wiggle room. There's no bye weeks. So Ohio State is affected here. The reason the game was canceled is because actually 8 Terps have tested positive here over the last 7 days. So that game is officially off the books. And SportsCenter is presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com.
I can see Bill Belichick pulling a Phil Jackson and being a general manager for the New York Football Giants.
I will be shocked if Bill Belichick doesn't coach another 5 years, and maybe more than that.
If he leaves after this year, I don't see that as retiring. I don't see that as resigning. I see that as quitting.
I got to be honest with you. I'm with the latter. That was Ryan Clark. I can't see a walk-off scenario. The entire conversation started with Bart Scott's comments that you heard. Greeny there in the middle weighing in as well. It's a juicy topic and one we hadn't really thought about since Bart brought it to the table yesterday. And for more on this, indeed you are.
Making news, Bart.
Let's go to the Shell Benzoil Performance Line and welcome in Damian Woody, a 2-time Super Bowl champion.
My neighbor. What up, D-Wood?
In New Jersey, in the woods of New Jersey. Pastoral New Jersey, and he joins us. Damian, good morning. I know you played, of course, for Bill Belichick, and now you're hearing Bart say this could be a possible walk scenario for Bill after this year. What do you make of that statement from Bart?
In the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend, okay? Listen, I the one thing about Bill, you got to understand the situation that the Patriots are in right now. Obviously, Tom Brady moved on to Tampa Bay. All right, a lot of guys opted out. You know, due to COVID, especially on the defensive side of the football, they're going to be in a position where they haven't been in probably 20 years, you know, before the Tom Brady era. They're going to be drafting pretty high, not at the bottom of the first round. So they're going to have premium draft picks. They're also going to have – New England's going to have, I think, like the third highest cap space in the National Football League. We know the cap is going down, okay, this offseason. So there's going to be a lot of teams – that's going to be stuck in a tight situation. A lot of players that, you know, we didn't see that we wouldn't expect in free agency. They're going to be on the open market, and Bill's going to be right there in the thick of things, ready to make his move. So, listen, there's no way in hell that Tom Brady goes on to Tampa Bay and making things happen down there, and Bill is just going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to retire. Man has an ego just like everyone else. Bill can coach probably another 10-plus years if you want to. I don't see a scenario where Bill Belichick just gives it up after this year.
No, listen, D. Wood, just so we can put it in context, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, this is an opportunity maybe for him to do something that he's always wanted to do. I think that he has a love and a passion for the New York Giants, and that he would love to go there and maybe help and maybe step back a little bit. He's 68 years old. Maybe he wants to be a general manager like his mentor, Bill Parcells, did later in his career, start buying the groceries and letting somebody else make the meal. At what point is he going to look Josh McDaniels, who turned down a head coaching job for the Colts, and look him in the face and say, I'm going to give you my world? And then when is he going to finally give it to him? Because it looks like he's just got him in a holding pattern. And at some point, you got to move on and give this young man an opportunity to be a coach. He came back because he trusted you and he believed you and he thought that he was the future head coach of the Patriots. This is a perfect time to maybe set him up right? Because he's going to have draft space. He's going to have a high draft pick, the opportunity to maybe take Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, or Trey Lance. He's going to have an opportunity to get his franchise quarterback and do it his way. And you can mentor him, but it may be better for him to ride off into the sunset. Maybe not this season or the next, but maybe, you know, in the next 2 years, I can see Bill maybe wanting to do something a little different and allow, you know, McDaniels to do what he said he was going to do, be a head coach in this league.
Well, listen, I think you bring up a great point in that Bill Belichick, he loves the New York Football Giants. Anyone that's been around Coach Belichick for any amount of time, he's talked about his time with the New York Giants, particularly Lawrence Taylor and all the defensive guys. He has an affinity for that organization. So, listen, I would never put it out of the realm of possibility that something like that could possibly happen. I'm just saying that, you know, from Bill Belichick's perspective, the work is not done in New England. I just don't see a scenario where he leaves the organization, you know, especially after this year where, you know, most people will look at, you know, the work of the Patriots is a down year. When they have the cap space, they're going to, you know, hopefully we will, you know, be beyond the pandemic at some point next year. So the Patriots are going to be on the rebound. So I just can't see it next year, but maybe at some point, you know, down the road that I could see him moving, you know, possibly moving to a upper management spot with the New York Football Giants.
D. Wood, let me take you from the AFC East to the AFC North to the Baltimore Ravens. When you hear Lamar Jackson confide in Rich Eisen on his show saying, when I get to the line of scrimmage, they're calling out the plays that I before I even get there, what does that mean to you?
It looks like they're – listen, when people start calling out your plays, you look like your formations and things are too predictable. You know, I always said when Lamar Jackson came into the mix and the Baltimore Ravens brought out this whole new offense, it was almost like playing the service academy in college. And Bart would know what I'm talking about. Yep. You go week to week to week playing these traditional type of teams, and all of a sudden you run against a service academy that runs something totally against what you're used to. It catches you off guard. Well, guess what? Now teams have started to see this Baltimore Ravens offense quite a few times, and people starting to zero in and pinpoint on what exactly they're doing and about formations and all the little things that gives you tips. So maybe the coaching staff, they need to change up formations or, you know, personnel groupings, because if you got guys, being tipped off, then that's on coaching more so than anything else.
Here's the problem, D-Wood, right? And I compare their offense to the Wildcat. There's basically just a Wildcat with a real quarterback at the quarterback position, not Ronnie Brown. But the bigger indictment to me isn't on Lamar Jackson. It's on the fact that the Ravens, remember when we had Sanchez, right? And Rex thought that, hey, we need to keep improving the defense, you know, and drafting Quentin Copels and drafting, all the other guys, right? But he didn't understand you make the defense better by making the offense better. And he kept going on and getting all these shiny pieces for the defense, but not understanding that he got to put some pieces on the offense. So when I look at the Ravens and I look at how they're constructed, Calais Campbell, probably over $100 million, Brandon Williams, Derek Wolfe, Yannick Ngakoue, right? You look at Judon, he's making $15 million. They just gave Marlon Humphreys $90 million. You know, Marcus Peters signed him last year. Jimmy Smith's making like $10 million. All their equity and all their money is spent on the defensive side of the ball. And then guess what's left over for Lamar Jackson? He gets Willie Snead, the great Willie Snead, the fifth receiver for Drew Brees, and he gets Hollywood Brown. Those two combined wouldn't make the top 40 wide receiver list. So now teams can just stack the box knowing that the guys out there, when I put my number one lockdown corner, which every team has a lockdown corner because that's how games are won, the dude is like, man, I got Willie Snead. Oh, man, I'm taking this week off.
Well, listen, I think that's something you brought up that's been brought up before, the lack of weapons on the outside the numbers. You know, any young quarterback, obviously the Baltimore Ravens, they have tight ends, which is great. They got running game and got tight ends that can work the middle of the field. But at the end of the day, you still need to have a guy on the outside that can give you chunk plays. Because as you know, it is very hard to have 10, 12 play drives in the National Football League. It's very hard. This is the offensive league that we're in, high scoring. And part of that is you need explosive players that play on the outside. And that's the one deficiency that the Baltimore Ravens have on the offensive side of the ball.
There's no question about it. I know most of you are listening on the radio, but if you're watching on TV, I can literally tell you Damian has been backed into a corner, and he came out swinging.
So. I am, literally.
D-Wood's
most people think I'm in the bathroom or something like that, but my kids got me trapped, man. So this is where I hang out at.
D-Wood, you've been on both sides, so you know for Bill Belichick that New York's a much better place to live anyway. Yeah, your cold just got stripped from Boston.
Well, listen. I've been living in this area for quite some time, man, so I can attest about this area.
They are neighbors, Bart and Damian. Always great to have Damian on the show. Damian, thank you so much.
All right, D.
All right. All right. Appreciate it, guys.
You got it. He appeared on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. One quick note, play has been suspended at Augusta National at round one of the Masters because of lightning and inclement weather. We should mention...
Come on, 2020! Right. Get it together!
I was hoping to see Happy Gilmore, man. Timbo, man, I want to see him hit it.
We're not going to see anything at the moment. There is scheduled rain in the forecast every day through Sunday, though the chances are diminishing, but they knew this was going to be a possibility. Right now, play has been suspended at Augusta. On the way, take it or shake it, timely for tonight. Is this the last start Philip Rivers makes in his NFL career? We'll talk about it next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
So this is Key's classic game that he brought with him when he was a local host at our station, 710 ESPN in LA, and he brought it to Key, J, and Z. Seems as easy as possible, right? Take it or shake it. I'll give you guys a subject. Either you take it, you're on board, or you shake it, and you're getting rid of it. Simply put, let's start with the NFL, something we discussed this morning with Brett Favre essentially saying the Eagles may have chosen the wrong guy. He says Foles over Wentz. Of course, the Birds went the other way. So, fellas, take it or shake it. Jay, let's start with you, and then Bart on the back. Carson Wentz will finish his career with the Philadelphia Eagles. Take it or shake it.
I'll go shake it.
Shake it.
I'll go shake it. I just think with the way this is trending, obviously they didn't make changes to that O-line, but if he keeps getting hit this way, injuries could be something you could worry about with him. I'm not sure Carson Wentz is the long-term answer, even though he got paid a big-time long-term deal.
I'm going to shake it as well.
Why?
Where's the shake it?
Well, typically, you only do it after the first person answers, okay. But that was key. But I like doing it both. So
absolutely.
We'll change it up.
Keep that energy going. Listen, I say that he doesn't, and I say because they brought in Jalen Hurts. You know, you talk about the RPO world. That's kind of where we are at. I think eventually he's going to price himself out, you know, and they're going to start over young because they're in a full rebuild. $64 million over the cap. They're going to start asking veteran players to start, you know, restructuring their contract, and they're going to start all over again. They had their window. They won a Super Bowl. They're good there in Philadelphia.
Let's go.
No doubt. We mentioned Key's with us in spirit, so we should say last week Wentz actually said about Wentz. Key said Wentz would not finish his career with the Eagles. There's about a 1% chance Key's up listening to this
praying
program.
Pray for you, Key.
1%, 0.05.
You're always up listening when you're not here. Key says Wentz would not finish his career with the Eagles. Let's stay in the division. Alex Smith, who's going to start this week, which is one of the great stories of the NFL season. Alex Smith will lead the Washington football team to the division title. Take it or shake it, Jay.
Shake it! I'm only saying shake it, and I want to see Alex Smith win more than anybody from somebody who's had to battle back through adversity, through injuries. I love seeing him in the field. I will say this, though. I still pray every snap that somebody does not hit Alex Smith the wrong way. Can the Washington football team do it? Potentially, yes. I'm just not going to put a lot of faith in this unit, though.
I'm going to take it.
You're going to take it?
Take it! I think Alex Smith is going to lead this team to the playoffs. Remember what he was. He, to me, right now, he's the best quarterback in the division. And this is a quarterback-driven league. So I think he's going to be that game manager that they need to be. They're going to lean on their defense. Riverboat Ryan's going to figure it out. He showed us a glimpse of what he's capable of last week. He just threw the three interceptions. But he led that team right up and down the field. He's a professional quarterback. The Washington football team will win the division. It's 2020.
Do you get worried about his durability, though?
I do. Mean,
that's a major question.
But it don't matter. If he dies, he dies. It's one of those things.
No. He didn't die. I want to clarify. He's alive.
When I say that, like, he's expendable, right? They have Kyle Allen. They have Dwayne Haskins. He's a luxury, right? He's extra. You know, so whatever happens to him, it's like, okay, go out there, do your thing, right? Because you don't expect him to have him for a long time. One, because of his age, and this is his swan song. He gets right off into the sunset. If he's able to lead this team to a divisional championship, coming full circle, being the comeback player of the year, I think that's a great career. That's a cherry on top.
It's got to save you when you start towing that line.
Yeah. You know I'm a habitual line stepper.
Yes.
But I didn't literally mean die. I'm talking about a football death. You know we die two deaths.
Zubin rolled his eyes. Right.
You know we die
two deaths. Let's just stop saying die.
We died two deaths.
Next segment, right? Zubin. Let's go.
One quick note. Great piece in the Washington Post yesterday that said Smith starting is the best thing in the world for Dwayne Haskins because Smith has been known as one of the most diligent preparers in football. Mm. And for a guy that needs to learn better habits, this could actually be a blessing in disguise for Dwayne Haskins. The 2020 QB class, Haskins was a part of the previous class, Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Joe, Tua, Justin. The 2020 class will be better than the 04 QB class, which consisted of Big Ben, Eli, and Philip Rivers. Take it or shake it, this year's group will be better than that 04 group, which has several Lombardis.
Bart, you go first in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to shake that.
Agreed.
Shake it!
That's so disrespectful. Listen, what I'm saying is you talk about two Hall of Famers. Well, three Hall of Famers, right? And four Super Bowl trophies between those two. I mean, between those three. I mean, I think that the class may be good, but listen, it's hard to have longevity in this league. I know nowadays you don't get hit the way you used to, but these guys are not built the same. I mean, these guys are built They're soft, man. They don't make them like they used to. I can't even say it.
What was the class again?
04 class was Eli, Big Ben, Philip Rivers. Also, J.P. Lossman out of Tulane. Probably coming in a distant fourth,
yeah,
just my opinion.
You could have kept that
2020
one.
QB class, Burrow, Tua, Herbert. What do you think?
I'm going to shake it. I think that talent-wise, the talent with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert might be better in the long run. But talent doesn't always equate to winning Super Bowls, winning championships. That takes having the right leadership organizationally around you.
Last one. We got to do this one. We mentioned it. Tonight will be Philip Rivers' last start. I'm just going to put the period on the sentence. Tonight will be Philip Rivers' last start in the NFL. Take it or shake it.
I shake it. I think it'll probably be his last start with the Colts, but I still think somebody's going to take a shot on Philip Rivers.
Well, if that's the case, then I would take it then because if you're going with Jay Will's philosophy, somebody else is going to take a chance on him. No, they don't because you got Cam Newton that's going to be available. You still have Jameis Winston that still has a future. Listen, we've seen enough of Philip Rivers. Ben is the last one standing.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.